nice to see everyone. I hope everyone's had a great week. I was actually going to celebrate the beautiful winter's days we've had this week, but it seems a bit silly with what's going on outside. Anyway, we've been in a series called Let's Talk About, and the heart behind this series is to pause and to stop and to talk about a few things that we think it's really important that we talk about in church that perhaps we don't talk about very often, or perhaps we don't even talk about enough. So we've covered a few things so far. We started off by having two messages about depression. Steve Fruish then came down and we talked about pornography. Last week we had a pause in the series and Joel Milgate shared on worship, and all of these are available on the podcast if you missed any and wanted to catch up. But today we're back in the series and the topic for today is work. So the title of this message is Let's Talk About Work. And I'm just going to start off by praying. So if you'd bow your heads with me. Lord, we invite your spirit to lead us today. Would you open each of our hearts? Would you bring your word to life for us? In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So let's talk about work. I'm going to start off with an idea that you may or may not be too keen on, but I'm going to start off with the idea that work is good. Work is good. I want you to repeat that after me. Say, work is good. Work is good. I saw some gritted teeth. Anyway, I want to acknowledge on the back of that statement that sometimes work might not always feel good. Sometimes it might be challenging, and I want to be sensitive to that, that there may be people in this room that are having a really tough time at work, and that's okay, but what I'm wanting to do today is I'm wanting to see work through the paradigm of the scripture, and in its essence, work is a good thing. I also want to acknowledge that work is more than paid employment. So this message is relevant to everyone here today, regardless of your situation. The definition I'll use for work is taking care of something that needs to be taken care of, or doing something that needs to be done. So whether that's doing chores, whether that's serving voluntarily, whether that's maintaining a property, whether that's raising a family, whether that's full-time employment or part-time employment, we're all involved in work in some form. So how might work be a good thing, you may be asking. So let's look at that. If we go right to the beginning of the story in the Bible in Genesis 1, we find God working. We find him creating the world. He spends the first 6 days working. It tells us that God is a worker, and God creates this beautiful creation, and at the centerpiece of creation, he places humanity, made in his image, to look after this creation, to tend it, to care for it, to subdue it, to bring out the best in it, and he entrusts them with the task of caring for creation. And we're told that when he creates humanity, he places them in a garden called Eden. And now the Garden of Eden is actually a picture of heaven. It's where God's presence dwells. It's where he's right with humanity. We're told that he walks with them in the cool of the day. And it says this about the garden in Genesis 2:15. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So here we have it, God's created the world, it's this beautiful picture of heaven, and the first thing he does once he creates humanity is he places them in the garden to work, to care for it, to look after the garden, and that tells us that work is actually a gift from God. In its essence, work is a good thing. We are wired to work. We're wired to restore. We're wired to create. We're wired to care for. We're wired to look after things because work in its essence is a gift from God. Now, of course, some of us who know the story know that shortly after that, things turned and humanity rebelled against God, and with that, sin entered the world and sin affected everything. And with that, it affected work right from the beginning. The ground was cursed. It would now be harder to care for. There were thorns and weeds. And some of us can look around our workplaces and see the same thing. We can see this good side of it, but we can see that it's not as it should be, that it's been tarnished, that systems are broken, that it's not all as it should be. But we need to hold that in the tension that in its essence, work is actually a gift from God. Work was not part of the fall. Some people think work was a curse, that as a result of the fall and sin entered, and we have to work. No, work was given before the fall. Work is a good thing. We're designed to work. We're designed to express. We're designed to create. Work is not part of the fall. And just on that, I may probably burst a few bubbles here, but has anyone thought about what you're going to be doing when you get to heaven? Have you thought about that? Maybe you've got a picture of sitting by a lake with a glass of Chardonnay, or maybe you're going to be fishing every day. I'm sure there'll be some of that, but you're actually going to be working. You're going to be working in heaven. This garden that's shown in Genesis 1, in Revelation it turns into a garden city. And it's like this goodness of God with God's presence, but the garden's been cultivated and it's been transformed, and there's civilization and there's life and people have tasks. And it says in the Bible that we're given responsibility based on how faithful we are in this life. We're going to be working in heaven. And I tell you what, it's a good thing. Because we're designed to work, we're designed to create, we're designed to express, we're designed to like subdue and bring out the best in things. Work is good. Now, some of you at this point may be sitting here and thinking, well, Sam, that's all well and good for you to say as your job as a pastor and you're in this nice church environment, but if you had one day in my workplace, you wouldn't be telling me work is good. And granted, I may not understand your workplace. I might not get it, but I have worked in a secular workplace far longer than I've worked as a pastor. I've actually just made a return this term. I'm teaching one day a week at Trident on a Friday. So far, so good. Keep praying for me. Touch wood. But throughout the years, I've had many different jobs. I've worked as a tennis coach. I stacked shelves at the local Pack and Safe as a grocery assistant. I worked front of house over at Port Ahope store in a kitchen. I've been a data entry clerk at the High Court in Wellington, and I've worked as a teacher. And I'll tell you, I have certainly had some days where if somebody said work is good, I would want to punch them square in the face, directly between the eyeballs. And as I thought about this, I can still remember the worst ever day I've had at work. And I'm going to share that with you. So I was about 20 years old. I was studying abroad in the States, and I was home on university holidays. And I wanted to save some money so that I could actually have a bit of a life when I was at university. And Dad, being a stalwart at Trident High School, managed to get me a job as a reliever there. And why they hired me, I do not know. I was 20 years old, so I was 2 years older than some of the students I was teaching. I was immature. I was ill-equipped. But they must have been desperate. And things were going okay. I kind of took the strategy of, I'm just going to try to get them to like me. I'm not going to step on their toes. If they like me, they'll think I'm a chill teacher. And I'll just get through my lessons and collect my paycheck. And that was going pretty well. But getting them to like me meant that they had no respect for my authority. And I usually didn't have too many issues. But one day I was given a class that was completely beyond me. I was not equipped to deal with this class. This class was absolutely feral. I had no control. I can remember sitting down at the front and I'd just given up. I just let it go. And it was just a circus in there. And I was just hoping no one was going to walk in because it would have been extremely embarrassing. I was looking at the clock and the clock was going ever so slowly. I was in an office chair and I leant back on my office chair and the chair burst into pieces. I fell back off the chair, landed on my bum, smacked my head on the ground, and the class erupted in laughter. I then asked the students to help me collect in the pieces that had been dispersed through the class, but they said no. And so I humiliatingly crawled across underneath their seats, picking up the pieces of my chair, and got through to the end of that, and I had to let the caretaker know I had broken the chair, which was a bit embarrassing, but it didn't end there. That was about period two, and there were a few more lessons, and it kind of got a bit better. Get to the end of the day, it was period five, and we had PE, and I was like, sweet, PE will be cool. We're playing soccer out on the turf, and I joined in, scored a few goals, and had a great lesson. I kind of had forgotten about that, burnt off some steam, and then it was kind of getting near to bell time, and we went back into the gym, and the students got changed, and they had come out, but I'd left it a bit late, and the bell was about to go. And they hadn't got their bags yet, and their bags were in these storage containers behind this big sliding door. And so I was there with this big set of keys because as a reliever, I was in all of the different rooms. And I'm going to open the door and the bell goes. And all of a sudden, the intensity lifts. Like the students, like, my bus is going to leave. Sir, hurry up, get my bag out. And they're like slamming on this door like animals. And I'm there with my set of keys and I keep getting the wrong key. And every time I get the wrong key, they get more angry. And finally, I get the right key. I flip it and they hear it click, and all of a sudden the roller door's going up with the key in it. And I'm trying to yank the key out and I can't, so I let go and it goes up and it snaps the key straight in half. So I've got half a key and the other half is stuck in the door. And so I have to go back to the caretaker, hand him my thing and say, I've broken a chair today, I've also got half a key for you, which they're going to have to get cut and get the other half out. But it didn't stop there. And so that's the end of the day, and at this point I'm absolutely wild. I go out to the car park, I jump in my car, and I speed around the corner, and just my luck, there's a cop right around the corner, strategically placed. And the sirens come on, and he pulls me over, and I get a speeding ticket. And I didn't mind too much about the speeding ticket, but I did mind that it was right in the path of the bus route. And so all of the buses are going past with students banging on the window. Students were walking past, and I didn't hear the end of that for the rest of my days at Trident. And I don't know why I went back there. Anyway, the reason why I share that is, like, I understand that work sometimes, it's not easy. It's not easy. We all have challenges. We all have bad days. Sometimes that's a light example. Some of us have repetitively bad days. But I want you to know that behind those bad days, in its essence, work is actually a good thing. And what God wants us to do is he actually wants us to be a redemptive presence in our workplace. He wants us to be lights in our workplace. He wants us to be an ambassador in our workplace. He wants us to take heaven and bring part of that to earth in our workplace. You know, his desire is for us to actually be part of the solution to this brokenness that's out there, to affect the culture in a positive way. And for most of us, what we need to understand is that your workplace is your primary ministry. Your family and your workplace is your primary ministry. God has put you into that workplace to be an example of the gospel, to be an example of the gospel by the way that you do your work, to be an example of the gospel by the way that you relate to others. And you need to know that where you are right now, whether you're happy in your job or not, you are not there by accident. You are not there by accident. It might not be your forever job. It might not be your forever destination. But God knows you're there, and while you're there, he wants to use you as a light in that workplace. If you think about it, if you're really committed to church life, and you come to church every single Sunday, and you go to a small group every single week, that's about 4 hours of your week if you're really dedicated. That's not even 10% of the average amount of time a full-time worker is at work. So it's vitally important that we see that if we don't actually see our work as a place where we work out our faith, we can miss the whole point and have 4 hours a week of Christianity without missing the point that our entire lives are meant to communicate the gospel. The way we work, the way we raise our family, the way we do life, the way we do friendship. Work is good. Another thing we need to remember is Jesus, who is our example, he worked. He worked as a carpenter. In fact, he spent a lot more years working as a carpenter than he did in full-time ministry. And when we look at his ministry, so much of it is done in actually, it's done in secular workplaces. I'm going to read an excerpt from a book by Eugene Peterson. This is what he says. Most of what Jesus said and did took place in a secular workplace, in a farmer's field, in a fishing boat, at a wedding feast, in a cemetery, at a public well asking a woman he didn't know for a drink of water, on a country hillside that he turned into a huge picnic, in a courtroom, having supper in homes with acquaintances or friends. In our Gospels, Jesus occasionally shows up in the synagogue or temple, but for the most part, he spends his time in the workplace. 27 times in John's gospel, Jesus is identified as a worker. In John 5:7, Jesus would say, "My Father is still working, and I also am working too." Working doesn't take us away from God. It continues the work of God. God comes into view on the first page of our scriptures as a worker. Once we identify God in his workplace working, it isn't long before we find ourselves in our workplace working in the name of God. We're designed to work. We outwork our faith in the workplace. We're there the majority of the time. It's the opportunity we have to glorify God, represent him well, and display the gospel. So how can we do this? In a world where workplaces are marred by this brokenness, how can we do work God's way that we would be a redemptive hope in our workplaces? I want to share 7 keys this morning for you, if you're taking notes. The first key is to do your job excellently. Do your job excellently. All of the employers are like nodding their head. Colossians 3:22-24 says this: slaves, some of us might feel like that, but different context. So, employees, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. That's challenging. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Out of your reverence for the Lord, honor your boss. Be obedient. Be a good worker. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. Do it well, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. You know, you get a reward in heaven for how well you steward what's given to you on earth. That includes how well you steward your work. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You know, when we are at work, we're actually working unto the Lord. We are serving the Lord. Whatever job you're in, whether that's an accountant, whether you're cutting hair, whether you're like a lawyer, whether you're working manual labor, you are working and serving unto the Lord. How does that idea of I'm working unto the Lord change the way I approach my work? How does it change the way I see the importance of it? Does it change the way I feel about the level of excellence I should bring? Does it change the type of attitude I should have? Does it mean that like I should be more reliable because I'm not working unto humans, I'm working unto the Lord. I'm working unto the King of Kings. The second key to doing God's work God's way is to have a good attitude. Philippians 2:14-15 says this: do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. He's saying you'll be different. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. We're called to have a good attitude. What does that mean? Be respectful. Speak well. Be teachable, promote unity, be positive. You know, ask yourself, how is my attitude at work? How is my attitude? Have I gotten worn down with the brokenness? And have I become cynical and pessimistic and negative? Or am I cultivating an attitude? Am I cultivating like a different spirit in that workplace because I have Christ living in me? The third key to work God's way is to take up the posture of a servant. In Matthew 20:25-28, Jesus said this: you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, talking about like the culture of the world, lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, i.e. it's all about being in power. It's all about being the top. It's all about being served. It's all about your position. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He said, I've called you to a different way. I've called you to be a servant. I've called you to serve your colleagues. I've called you to serve your boss. I've called you to serve your customers. What if we had that attitude where we're like, I'm not here to get, I'm here to serve. I'm here to empower. I'm here to bless. I'm here to take the lower seat. I'm here to do the least like job because I am taking up that posture of a servant. Wouldn't that transform our workplaces? The fourth key to doing work God's way is to honor your boss. Honor your boss. In Joel's message last week, he shared that how in the culture we live in, particularly Western culture, we don't naturally have a high honor culture towards authority. In fact, New Zealand is probably almost the bottom of that list. Whether that be teachers or employers or government officials or pastors, I had to put that in there. I think we'd all agree that our culture doesn't naturally esteem authority very highly. I'll use an example. I went over to the States, and as a student, I went to a few house parties. And if you're at a house party and a policeman shows up in America, you hit the deck. You hit the deck. You do not talk. Whereas if you're in New Zealand, you almost feel sorry for the police officer that he has to show up at the party. You know, it's a different culture. We're called, and Christians are called to be counterculture to the world. We're actually called to be those that would honor, that would esteem, that would submit, even if our employer is not a good employer. 1 Peter 2:18, slaves, again, employees in reverent fear of God, so because you fear God, submit yourselves to your masters or your employers, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. It's a bit challenging, isn't it? Even your boss who's been hasn't been treating you well, even that person that doesn't deserve it. Why? Because we're called to be different. Jesus says if we're only good to people that are good to us, we're no different to the world around us. If we're only reverent to a good boss, we're no different to any other employee. But if we recognize that we've been called to a higher standard, we're called to love our enemies. We're called to pray for those who persecute us. We're called to do good to those that do bad to us. We start living differently in this world. Also, employers in this room, honor your employees. Amen. This is what it says in Ephesians 6. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. In the same way they are called to honor you, you are called to honor them. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with them. He's saying, employers, you have been given a role to steward something. And you are responsible for honoring your employees, and you have a master in heaven. And what we need to know is that those of us who have been given a role like that, we're going to be held to a higher account. They're going to say, how did you use your responsibility? So keep that in mind if you're an employer in this room. The fifth key to doing work God's way is to promote unity in your workplace. You know, in every sector of society, the devil is looking to divide. Every sector of society, he's looking to create tension, he's looking to create gossip, he's looking to create he's just looking to divide because we know that division leads to desolation. In Matthew 25, Jesus says this, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. You know, the devil is looking to divide, but God is always looking to unite. He's looking to bring harmony. He's looking to bring ease. He's looking to bring people together. He's looking to bring health and cultures. And he wants to use us as his voices of unity wherever we are to bring things together, to create peace, to promote a united culture. And to be honest, this is really challenging sometimes. And this is, I've found this challenging in my jobs in secular workplaces. I'm someone that can be quite quick to perhaps see things that aren't quite right in an environment. And I can remember as a teacher at a school being in a situation where there was a massive rift between the staff and the management. It's probably common in a lot of workplaces, but you could feel it. And almost every conversation in the staff room would eventually get round to talking about the management and the issues and what's wrong and why aren't they doing this and why aren't they doing that and they didn't consult us about this. And there was a lot of truth to it. And I'd be aware of that and I'd find myself trying really hard not to get into these conversations. But eventually I'd find myself in the circle with the people adding fuel to the fire. And God convicted me one day and he said, son, you are either part of the solution or you are part of the problem. I have not called you to divide, I have called you to unite. And you know what? He calls every single person in this room to unite. How do we do that? We don't speak badly about our colleagues. We don't speak badly about our boss. We don't speak negatively. That we're not looking to demean. We don't gossip. We're quick to forgive. If we find ourselves in a situation where it's going that way, we stay silent. We don't add fuel to the fire. We assume the best of people. And if we have an issue, we go directly to the person and we voice it to the person. That's called being a mature person. And it's the same in church, by the way. If you have an issue, don't talk around. Go and see the person. Ephesians 4:29 says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Gossip, slander, complaining, criticism, put-downs, bickering, swearing. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, ask your question, is this building up? Is this edifying? Is this uniting? Or is this dividing? Is this all good this morning? The sixth key to work God's way is to pray for your workplace. Pray for your workplace. In Jeremiah 29, the Lord says this to the people of Israel. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city, you couldn't place that with workplace, to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You know it's in your best interest for your workplace to be going well, for your boss to be happy, for the culture to be well, for people to be united. And the context of this is the Israelites have been carried off to exile in Babylon, and it's a picture of us being in exile as such from heaven, which is our true home. But notice he doesn't tell them to just sit up shop, lock your doors, batten down the hatches, and wait till you're out of exile. No, he says work for it. Marry, have kids, pray, bring out the best in that city. That's where I've placed you. And we need to remember that Christianity is an escapism. It's actually bringing heaven to earth where we are now. It's actually bringing the kingdom culture to where we are now. It's actually transforming and reforming every sector of society. And one of the ways we do that is we pray for our workplace. Lord, would you bless my workplace? Lord, would you give us favor? Lord, would you unite the colleagues? Lord, would you bless my boss? God, would you give us innovation and creativity? Father, would we be a light by the way we do work? We pray for our workplaces, and as we pray, our workplaces begin to be transformed. How often do you pray for your workplace? How often do you pray for your boss? How often do you pray for your colleagues? I would argue that should be very high on your prayer list, because it's where you spend the majority of your time. Family, workplace, every day. As Christians, we actually have a duty of care to be praying for our workplace. The final key to work God's way is to share your faith at work. 1 Peter 3:15 to 16 says this, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. He's saying, always be ready. Always be on the lookout. Always be ready. But do it well. Do it wisely. Keeping a clear conscience. He's saying, have a good witness at work. If you're sharing your faith at work and you're a horrible employee, it's not that good of an example, you know what I mean? It's like, why would I want that if you're like this at work? It's like, actually model the gospel at work, but also share it so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I said it earlier, your workplace is your primary mission field. Your workplace is your mission field. Often we talk about going on missions trips to Asia, and that is awesome. That's something to be celebrated. But every single one of us is in full-time ministry with the people around us. Have you thought it? Do you see your workplace as your mission field, as the place where God has placed you to influence that culture and to represent him well? You know, ask yourself, and we're to share our faith every day by the way we do our work. by the way we do our work, by the way we love people, but let's not use that as an excuse to never actually share our faith. It says always be ready. Always be ready. You know, a challenge, ask yourself, when's the last time I shared my story to someone at work? When's the last time I shared my faith? When's the last time I invited a colleague to church or to a small group? You know, it's a good thing to think about. We're called to share our faith in action and an example. So just as I come to a close, if I could have the keys back up, I just want to recap where we've been. We've been talking about work. We've been talking about how in its essence, work is a good thing. Work is a good thing. We get to work. We don't have to work. God's given us the ability to work and to make and to create and to solve problems and to take care of and to bring the best out in. Yes, it's been marred by sin and there is an element of brokenness, but God wants us to be a redemptive hope in our workplaces. He wants to use us to bring his culture to that culture. We talked about how we're all working in some way or form and we're doing that unto the Lord. Everyone here is involved in work. And we talked about the seven keys. The first key was do your job excellently. Work as if working unto the Lord. Do it 100%. Don't cut corners. Have integrity. The second was having a good attitude, being thankful that you've got a job. I can remember being really miserable at work and I'd force myself to just thank God for about half an hour before I got to work because I needed to. But it would completely change my day and it would change my approach. The third key was to take up the posture of a servant. How might I serve at work? How might I serve my colleagues? How might I serve my boss? How might I serve my students? How might I serve my customers? How might I serve my family? We glorify God this way. The fourth key was to honor your boss. Honor your boss. Pray for your boss. Speak well of your boss. And also to honor your employees. The fifth key was to promote unity in the workplace. Man, this is a big one. We're called to promote unity. There's division everywhere you look. And God wants Christians to be people that just bring people together. Look to promote unity. Refuse to get involved in those conversations. The sixth key was to pray for your workplace. I would argue that every single day we should be praying for our workplaces. Every day. Every single day. Praying for your boss, praying for your workplace, praying for your colleagues. And that will transform our workplaces. And by the way, if you're in a workplace and there's another Christian there, find them and start praying together. That will multiply your prayers. The power of actually during interval, if you're a teacher or during staff break, to sit down, united and be like, let's pray for our workplace. That will completely change your workplace. Find a Christian in there. Start a prayer group. It will change your workplace. And if you're a boss, pray for your employees. Sometimes we can get so busy with the task that we actually forget that God, like, he's the answer. Pray about the issues you're having. Pray about like what you can't figure out. Pray for your workplace. And the final key is to share your faith. Share it every single day by the way you work, by the way you love, but always be ready to give an answer for the hope you have. The reality is, guys, as a Christian employee should be different. A Christian employee should be different. The employer should look at that person and be like, man, this person's got integrity. They're reliable. They work hard. They speak well, and it's not because we're any better than anyone else. And yes, we're all on a journey, but it's because we have Christ in us, and he's called us to be different. And a Christian employer should be different too. The fruit of that should be like, man, my employer actually cares about me. He values us as staff. She values us as staff. Their fear. They look to create a good culture for us. So let's invite God into our work, into our daily work, that we might be his witnesses. That takes us to the end, but I just have a few questions for you to reflect on that are going to come up on the screen. And if you've got a camera, you're welcome to take a photo of that or write that down. And if you've got a small group, you could ask those questions. You could ask them at the dinner table or even this afternoon. Does the way I do my work bring honor and glory to God? Is my attitude at work godly? And do I see my workplace as one of my primary mission fields? Do I view it that way? And so just to close, I just want to pray. But before that, again, I just want to acknowledge that some of us, work might be really hard. And I've been in places where I just felt like I couldn't show up because it was that hard. And you might just be doing your best to show up to work. Just to get there is a big step. And I want to let you know that God has grace for you there, and that he's with you, and that he feels that. And you might not be there forever, but while you are there, God's got the grace you need, and you still have a purpose in that workplace. And I want to pray specifically for you, but I also want to pray for others. So if we could just stand to our feet. Before I start my prayer, I just want to read a portion of a psalm that Moses writ. This is what he said in Psalm 90:17. He said, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands." Lord, we thank you that you entrust things to us, that you've given each of us gifts and talents to contribute, to care for, to preserve, to nurture. And Lord, I thank you that in its essence, work is a good thing. We get to do things. We're wired to do things. And yes, it's been marred by sin, and sometimes it can be really hard, Lord, but within that, you want to shine the light of the gospel through us. And so, Lord, first of all, I want to lift up people who just may be really finding work hard. Lord, I pray for your grace upon them. Lord, I pray that you would give them new strength. Lord, I pray that you would ease the load. Lord, I pray that your grace would be felt. Father, I pray that even within the challenge and the struggle, Lord, that you are still big enough to shine through them, even if they might not feel it. And Lord, if this job was only meant for a season, I pray you would open the door for a better fit, a better place, Lord. Lord, I lift up all of the employees in our room, and I bless them in Jesus' name. Father, would the work of our hands be blessed? Lord, would we bring glory to you by the way we work? Would the way we do our job be a picture of the gospel, redeeming culture, bringing heaven to earth, transforming society? Lift up the employers, Lord, and we bless them. Father, we ask for wisdom, for unity in their workplaces and businesses, for favor, for grace. Lord, and all of those who aren't involved in paid employment but are involved in work all the same, would the way that we raise kids and volunteer and coach sports teams, Lord, and look after what we've been given, would that glorify you? Would it point to something of the gospel of redemption, of hope, of restoration? Lord, would our workplaces be transformed? Lord, as we pray for them, as we witness to you in them, would the fruit of today be that our workplaces are transformed for the hope of the gospel? Lord, we pray a blessing over our town, and we ask for employment. We ask for industry. We ask for protection over businesses. We ask just for your blessing, Lord, that the city may prosper, that we may prosper along with it. In the name of Jesus, amen.